1 Peter 4:15. By the way, the ladies had to turn the AC on yesterday. It got so warm. So we may have to do the same thing sometime throughout the course of this morning. Of course, not in Sunday school because it's still quite cool right now. But we may have to do that. So turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter 4:15. Talking about adversity, have you ever noticed that when we talk about a subject, that subject matter seems to be intensified in our lives? Amen. Just seems to go hand in hand like that. And I think God is just trying to show us that these things are true, these things are real. But at the same time, we can get victory over these things as well. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 4, memory verse was verse 15. Right now, we've covered, memorized 12, 13, and 14, and now 15. Verse number 15, 1 Peter 4 and 15. And we're going to quote those here and then go into our lesson, 1 Peter 4, 15. All right, everybody's got that, 1 Peter 4, 15? Amen. All right, well, let's say 1 Peter 4, 15 together, the reference, then the verse, then the reference. Here we go. 1 Peter 4, 15. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. 1 Peter 4, 15. For, you know, 1 Peter and 1 John are two different books. And they don't say the same thing. Matter of fact, let me see. What does 1 John 4:15 say anyway? Why is that one on my heart? Huh? For love not the world, 4:15? Okay, so I don't know why I had that one in my mind and my heart, but amen. Praise the Lord. That's good too. Amen. But that's not the one we memorize. Amen. 1 Peter 4:15. Let's go ahead and pray and we'll get started. Father, once again, we do thank you for your love toward us. Thank you for just being a generous God. Lord, thank you for the sunshine. Lord, thank you for this church building that we can be in. Lord, we know so many in different countries don't have a place to worship. They don't have a building. Some are under a tree. Lord, they're worshiping out in fields and barns and other places. God, we have the shelter of the building here, the house of God. Help us now to utilize it for your honor and your glory. As we give offerings to I Love My Church offering, Lord, may you get all praise, honor, and glory. Bless now as we discuss adversity a little bit more. God, help us to get the victory over the adversities that come into our lives by seeing them through the eyes of God. We'll thank you and love you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. All right. Let me ask a very dumb question. How many of you like adversity? Nobody likes adversity? Get out of here. Nobody likes adversity. All right. So let me ask you another question. How many expect adversity? How many like to expect adversity? Amen. You know, we don't like to expect adversity, but you know, the fact of the matter is we got to get used to it.
Yep.
It's going to happen. We're in a fallen world, and we're people, and we live with people. Right. And what are people? Sinners.
Sinners.
So what are people going to do?
Sin.
And when they sin, oftentimes it's against us. Amen. And not only we live around people, we live in a fallen world.
Yeah, we do.
I mean, the trees are contaminated. The soil is contaminated. The animals are contaminated. Everything has been affected by sin. And so we can get adversity at any time from just about any place. Mm-hmm. You stand out too long in the beautiful sunshine, what's going to happen?
You're going
to get sunburned. You stay out in the cold too long, what's going to happen? You're going to get frostbite. See, we can't win. Amen. You know, it's just one of those things that we may not like it, but we have to get used to it. Amen. It's going to happen, and it's going to keep coming. When does adversity stop? When we're dead. Is that a good thing? Yes, because be absent from the body, be present with the Lord. Amen. You know, this is the worst of the adversity that we'll see. Mm-hmm. And then we get to go to heaven.
Oh, amen.
And there's no adversity in heaven. Amen. I'm glad about that. Amen. It is all rosy and peachy once we get there.
Amen.
Roman numeral number 1 on your page of victory. What page is that on anyway? Page 30. Roman numeral number 1, the commonality of trials is what we talked about already. Mm-hmm. And then Roman A is adversity is expected. And notice what 1 Peter 4:12 says again. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the what? Fiery trial, which is to try you. Not that may try you, but which is to try you. How many of y'all like fiery trials? Amen. You know, the worst type of trial is when you don't expect it.
Yes, sir.
My wife was cooking the other day, and she forgot to turn the burner off, and it was on low, and you couldn't tell that it was on. And I got near to it. Now, just imagine if I'd have stuck my hand on there, reaching for something up in the cabinet and stuck my hand on that burner. What would have happened? That would have been a fiery trial. Amen. Because I would have wondered who left this on. And of course, it was my wife. My children are quick to blame stuff on my wife. Who left this here? Mommy did. I said, so why didn't someone clean it up? And they get the face. Wow. I said, y'all help mommy out now. But it says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you. As though some strange thing happened unto you. God says, you know, don't think it like, oh, me, Natasha,
oh, no.
Brother Duffy,
oh, man.
Tina, why us?
Yeah, that's right, Pastor.
Why not Katie? Why not Tamara?
Oh, my goodness.
Why me?
Yeah, why me, Pastor?
But don't we have that attitude sometimes? Why me? You know, and God probably says, well, why not you? It's just as good as candid as anybody else. Amen. But adversity is expected in the life of a Christian. I mentioned that sometimes we have this Disneyland mentality. We think every day should be a happy day with a happy meal. You know, happy meals are at McDonald's. Amen. And we don't always go to Disneyland. So every day is not going to be like that. We're going to have some days of adversity. And we you know. And by the way, we talked about this. It's God's way of maturing us. If we never had any adversity, we would never be mature.
That's right, Pastor.
Think about it. If the child never learned to exercise their legs, would they ever start walking?
No,
because they wouldn't develop any muscles. They've got to develop muscles in order to walk. And so trials or adversity helps mature us. And then B, adversity is a proof of salvation. We talked about that as well. We talked about two different types, Savior directed, and then we talked about self-directed as well. I read a devotion on the 27th on my birthday, and it says this. It says, talking about the two responses here, and it says, if you take a bag of carrots and a half a dozen eggs and put them together in a pot of boiling water, they have opposite reactions. The carrots will become soft and tender, while the eggs will harden. The same is true of the response of fire with wax and clay. The wax will melt, but the wax will melt, but the clay will harden. The difference is not found in the medium of these testings, but in the nature of the material. So it is with our hearts. Some people endure great hardship and suffering in their lives, but their faith is made stronger and their spirit sweeter. Others endure very similar circumstances, but become angry and bitter at God for allowing bad things to happen to them. The difference is determined by the condition of our hearts. That is why it's so vital for us to make sure that we remain tender to the things of God. If we do not, spiritual tragedy and divine judgment will certainly follow. Zechariah 7:12 says, yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts has sent in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. Keep your heart soft toward the things of God, and you'll respond to the events of life properly.
That's good.
So that's amazing, you know, when you think about the carrot and the egg both responding differently to the heat. By the way, not every adversity is Savior directed. Not every adversity is Savior directed. But then at the same time, not every adversity is self-directed. But I will tell you this. Every adversity is Savior approved. And what does that mean? Every adversity is not Savior directed. And every adversity is not self-directed. It means God doesn't bring them all and we don't cause them all. But everyone is Savior approved. What does that mean?
God knows everything, but Satan can't do anything to us.
That's right.
God allows everything in our lives to happen because he's in control. So it may not come directly because God cause things to happen.
Amen.
Either as a correction or a test or,
amen,
you know, he allows those things to happen.
It's everything happens at God's direction, whether it's by something that you did from yourself and you bought on adversity, or the Savior's trying to test you, but he approves it all. He says, okay, this is good. This is good for them. Notice the verse in Genesis chapter 16, verse 13. And I believe that's Hagar. Genesis 16 and verse 13. This was at the birth of Ishmael. Genesis 16, 13. And Hagar was being evicted, as you would. And those verse 13 says, and she called the name of the Lord, called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, thou God seest me. For she said, I have also here looked after him that seeth me. So thou God seest me. That's a little child's prayer that they pray, that God sees us. But God sees us as well. He understands whether our adversity has been ordained by him or whether our adversity has been directed by our own selves, by something that we've done. Okay, so that's really something that we want to make sure we keep in mind. God knows and understands everything that we're going through. Then we came over here to Roman numeral number 2, the commendation to the Christian. The commendation to the Christian. And then A is the victory. There's victory in identifying with Christ. And go back to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 13. Notice what it says here. It says, verse 13, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering. So we're partakers of Christ's suffering, suffering like he did. That when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. So in other words, when we do go through the adversity, we understand the commonality of these trials. We understand it's to be expected. We understand it's proof that we're saved. But then the commendation that we get is that we are identifying with Christ. We're suffering like he did. By the way, did Jesus suffer?
Yes, he did.
And how?
Yes, he did.
So do you think we're going to suffer? And how? Are we going to suffer like Jesus? Probably not. Peter is probably about the closest one. He got nailed to the cross upside down, they say, by history. And so God never leaves us, though, alone when we go through adversity. Isn't that comforting to know?
Yes, sir, it is.
That we never walk through adversity. David said it this way, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Amen. And so God never leaves us even when we have adversity. Amen. And he gives us the instruction book or the instruction manual so that we know exactly how to please him even through adversity. Amen. That's a blessing that we still have his word. So we're partakers. Now, there's another one that I read as well this week. If you have the Luke's discipleship book, this was from March 11th, which is just yesterday. I read this one. And this was when they were on the storm in Luke chapter 8, verses 22 and 24, when they were on the lake there and all the water got in the boat and they were going to sink. And they didn't think Jesus cared for them. And this is what it says here. Christians are not promised a life without troubles or hardship. We're going to face storms as we journey through life. Companies go under, jobs vanish, children get sick, friends betray us. All of these things are part of living in a fallen world, and Christians are not exempt from these trials. The difference for Christians is that we have someone help us. Hallelujah, praise God.
Yes, sir, Pastor. Yes, sir.
We have a loving Savior to whom we can turn for help when we are in distress, just as the disciples did when they feared their boat would sink. Now think about this. This is what they said. Came to pass on a certain day, this is verse 22. That he went into a ship with the disciples and said unto them, let us go over to the other side of the lake. And they launched forth, but as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Now, who's in the boat with them?
Jesus was.
Do you think Jesus told them to go to the other side just to die halfway through there? So what happened halfway through? It was a storm.
Yeah.
And what happened to them? They were fine. Jesus was with. Did they think they were fine, though?
No.
What did they think? They were going to die. How many of y'all think they actually heard what he said. Let us launch and go to the other side. Did they even hear that part? I think they did, but it didn't matter in the circumstances. And that's just like us. We know God's with us. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. But it doesn't matter in the circumstances, because the circumstances come up and it's like the wind. It's like the water. It starts beating in our lives and we forget that he's actually there. And Lord, we perish.
Amen.
And Jesus said, as long as I'm with you, you're not going to perish.
That's right.
Now, you may go through a little trial. It may be a little tough. But Jesus is sleeping in the back of the boat. And Jesus is not going down in the boat. Amen. He's going to the cross. But as they were going through here, they came to him and awoke him saying, Master, Master, we perish. Mm-hmm. Now, I wonder, did that we include just the disciples or did that we include Jesus too? Now, wait a minute. Some of these men are fishermen, aren't they?
Yeah.
Can't fishermen swim? I would hope you, if you're a fisherman, I hope you swim.
I hope so.
That can be a misnomer. Not all Navy people know how to swim.
Right.
They're supposed to know how to swim, but not all can swim. You know, not all Border Patrol can speak Spanish. They're supposed to be able to speak Spanish, right, brother?
Amen.
Just enough to say you're under arrest. Halt. They start talking back. You just say, halt. Amen. They hold a conversation. Halt, you're under arrest. They can say, well, you know, I'm just trying to halt. You're under arrest. Amen. Jesus came, though, says, he came, he rose, he rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And so the devotion goes on to say this. We have a loving Savior to whom we can turn for help when we are in distress, just as the disciples did when they feared their boat would sink. We have been given direct access to God as part of our standing as children of God. Hebrews 4:16 urges, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace. We have obtained mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We can have confidence in storms when we use the resource of prayer. When God allows us to experience the storms of life, he never abandons us or forsakes us. Think about that. So if it's Savior directed, he hasn't abandoned us. And even if it's self-directed, if it's some foolishness that I did, he doesn't abandon us. Think about your own children. Your child does something to get himself in trouble. Are you going to abandon your child? You might make him suffer a little bit. Amen. I had a nephew, my nephew, Bashara, one time I kept warning him about the hot dryer. And he kept getting over there and he finally got up there and burnt himself. Now, I didn't let him stay on the dryer to just get burnt to a crisp. Amen. I got him off of the dryer. Now, I strolled a little bit. It took me a little bit of time to get there. I didn't run. Why didn't I run to get him off the dryer? Teach him a lesson. Because I had warned him, this is hot. Stay away. Don't touch. And he was bent on getting over there. He finally got up there, pulled himself up, and then he couldn't get off. He was just, and I saw him doing that. And I said, you didn't listen to me. Now look, now you're about to burn up. And so I walked over and I got him off. Guess where he didn't go anymore?
To the dryer.
He didn't go to the dryer anymore. I never told my sister that story. But I bet you my nephew remembers that really good. She probably said, I'm not letting you babysit anymore. I said, well, you know, he's obedient now. Amen. Sometimes that's the way it is with God. Not that God is trying to hurt us or anything like that, but he lets us go through adversity a little bit longer than we want to. Why? He knows what we need.
Amen.
He knows what we need. No, I'm not God. I don't know what I need.
Right.
And so I'm trying to get out of adversity as quickly as I can.
Yes, sir, Pastor. Yes, sir.
Any way I can. If I could, I'd pay to get out of adversity. If I could.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
And I'm sure you're the same way. Adversity becomes, you know, you see it right there. You say, okay, I got some money. Do I have to go through this here? Is it $20 or $30? Do I have to go through this? You know, pass me, please. Go. You know, so Katie's waiting next in line. There's Tasha. There's Jeff. There's Tina. Yeah, they're all the, oh, yeah, okay, go.
Amen.
But God doesn't operate that way. Sometimes we have to go through it. And so it's necessary. But he says down there in verse 13, but rejoice as much as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. We'll know it's been worth it all. Amen. So the commendation to the Christian, God leaves us the word of God so that we can know how to please him even as we go through the trials and the adversity, which we don't like going through. And by the way, if a trial has come because we're serving the Lord and trying to live for him, we're being identified with Christ. Yea, all that shall live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We have the word of God to say that. And so that's something that we need to go through. Now, the book says something interesting here. Let me read this. Pride keeps us from seeking God's help in overcoming adversity. Help me out with that. Pride keeps us from seeking God's help in overcoming adversity. What was he talking about there? Pride keeps us from seeking God's help in overcoming adversity. If we know that the commendation to the Christian is that there is victory in identifying with Christ, A, and we know we're partakers of his glory, and we know he's with us, how is pride going to keep me from seeking God's help in overcoming my adversity? What am I prone to do in opposite direction of asking God to help me? Do it myself. I don't need your help, God. I can figure this all out by myself. I'm smart enough. I got a brain. Well, yes, we do have a brain, but why would you want to go through adversity alone?
No, I don't want to, Pastor.
Bro?
The world teaches us as a baby, you know, stand alone, you can do it, army of one, you know. It's ingrained into us, and it definitely takes God to direct us back.
Amen.
God took everything as far as pride is concerned. All we had was him, you know. Mm-hmm. And it definitely taught us a huge lesson.
Amen. Amen. By the way, if we try and get through it ourselves, normally we're going to use human wisdom, human reasoning. And God doesn't want us to use human reason. He wants us to use his word to get through it. He wants us to look at some biblical characters that have gone through adversity before and made it through the help and the power of God. And so it goes on to say this. Pride encourages us to be self-reliant and self-sufficient, but we do not have the strength in ourselves to face the struggles of life. Amen and amen.
That's right, Pastor Dawson.
I will wear down. I'm like Moses. I mean, think about it. Each one of the church members has a problem. And each one of the church members comes to me with their problem. Do I have the capability to bear those problems? No. I have to say, okay, Lord, they came to me with their problem. Let's pray and let's put it where it belongs, on you. Yep. Why? Casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. If I was to try to take all the church's burdens and problems on my shoulders, what would I be? Ooh. Number one, a fool. Yeah. I'd be this small. I mean, I'd get crushed under that. Because guess what? I got my own. I've got my own family. And so now if I take on Jeff's and Natasha's and Tina's and Ken's and Rose, and I say, okay, I'm going to bear them all myself. What did Moses say? Moses said, I can't bear all these people by myself. He said, God, if you're going to treat me like that, just kill me. He said, kill me.
Yes, sir.
He said, And God had to give him some help.
Yeah.
And so we can't do it ourselves. We can only find that strength in looking to the cross of Christ. Go to Hebrews chapter 12. They talk about how we're to do this. Hebrews chapter 12, just back a few pages. Hebrews chapter 12. And notice how we are to run life's race to include adversities. Who's got Romans? I'm sorry, Romans 12. Who's got Hebrews 12, 1 and 2? You can read that for me. Hebrews 12. Brother Hall, read 1 and then Nicole 2.
But foreseeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us.
And verse 2, Nicole?
Thank you.
Amen. So as we're going through life and as we're going through adversity, we're compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. We're not the only ones that face adversity, are we? No. By the way, even in this room, all of us have faced adversity this week, this month, this year.
Amen.
All of us have faced adversity. So we're compassed about with a greater cloud of witnesses. He said, lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. So get rid of the self-directed adversity. Okay. And let us run with patience or endurance the race that's set before us. But then how? Looking unto who? Jesus. Am I to look to everybody else's adversity? No. Looking at your adversity is just going to make me what? Worse. And looking at my adversity is going to make me worse. And so I can't look around everybody else's adversity and see what they're going through, because that's going to make me more discouraged. I mean, God, we're all going through. How many of y'all read through the book of the Bible, the books of the Bible, you're in Numbers, and the people got complaining and everybody was dying. And they say, we all die. It's just death, death, death. We just all die. They looking around. They're like, it's just death, death. Well, everybody's dying. You killed Korah. You killed all these folks. Now, everybody's dying. They just got discouraged. They were looking in the wrong direction.
Yes, sir.
But the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author, who is the beginning and finisher, the ending of our faith. What happened? For the joy that was set before him, what did he do? Endured the cross. What does that do? That gives us the endurance that through adversity, guess what? We can make it with the Lord's help.
Yes, sir, we can.
I am to cast my cares upon him, for he cares for me. I am to understand that trials are necessary. Adversity is going to happen to all of us. But I'm going to look at what Jesus went through and say, hey, he did it. He did it. Mm-hmm. What happened here? He endured the cross, despising the shame, and to set down the right hand of God. He got through it. Verse 3, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint your mind. So, the writer of Hebrews says, you know, let me give you a good person to think about. Otherwise, you're going to quit mentally.
That's right, Pastor.
Mentally, you're going to think, I can't make this adversity. I can't get through this. I can't do this. Sometimes it's like all the walls are crashing down. And it seems like all hope is lost. It seems like from one thing to the next, it just never ends. My former boss coined a phrase. He actually even put it on my plaque when I left his office. And it was called INE, I-N-E. And it stood for two things. It never ends and it's never easy.
That's right.
And every time something happened, he'd say, INE, INE. It's never easy and it never ends. And I've got that plaque at home in my little cupboard up there. Amen. But he says, if we don't consider Jesus, we will faint in our minds when it comes to adversity. It goes on to say this. We can only find the strength in looking to the cross of Christ and studying the life of Christ and how he suffered. We see a pattern for properly responding to adversity. He successfully completed his work. And we need to focus on him as we run our race. There is victory in focusing on the Savior. No matter what trial, adversity we face today, there is joy set before us as children of God. We have all eternity in heaven to anticipate. So in other words, what he's saying is Jesus knew the cross was coming and he kept going forward. He kept going forward. He knew what the end result was going to be, and he continued pressing forward. Is adversity going to happen? Yes. Does that mean that we stop and have a pity party and go to bed? No. Life still goes on. This is the old phrase, time waits for no man or woman, as it may be. Time continues to go by, and so I've got to continue doing what God would have me, even through adversity. Is it easy? Heavens, no. But I tell you what, with God, it's possible. With God, all things are possible. B was, there is victory in the presence of God. There's victory in the presence of God. Jesus suffered both public and private humiliation as he endured the cross of shame. He was beaten, mocked, stripped, and hung on a cross in full view of all who passed by. Has any of us gone through that?
No.
Not even remotely close. Do we have private pain? Yes, we have private pain. But Jesus had public shame in addition to private pain. Jesus' heart bled in ways that you and I would never, ever know about. He had some things, I'm sure, that affected him in ways that you and I would never, ever know about.
Right.
But yet and still, he did what he needed to do. Mm-hmm. Go back to 1 Peter chapter 4 and notice verse 14. There's victory in the presence of God. That's your B. There's victory in the presence of God. Notice what it says in verse number 14. Peter said, if you be reproached, or if you go through some difficulties, or if you're talked about, for the name of Christ, what are you? Happy are ye. For the spirit of glory and of God rested upon you. Why don't we go jumping around like this? Woohoo! Adversity! Why don't we do that? We forget, amen? We forget. Now, you don't have to skip and jump. But what should you say inwardly? God, you said this was going to happen.
Yeah.
But you also said you were going to be with me.
Pastor.
God, you never said this would be easy. But you said you'd see me through. God, you never said this would be an easy road. But as I'm looking unto you and how you endured the shame and how you did the cross, Lord, I'm reminded that you're with me. You said, lo, I'm with you always. You said he will never leave me nor forsake me. God, I'm reminded that adversity is going to come to the good and the bad. Everybody's going to have some of this. Lord, I'm reminded that the person on my right hand has got their share. The one on my left hand has got their share. The one in front of me has got their share. The one behind me has got their share. And Lord, I'm reminded that I've got my share.
Yes, sir.
And Lord, I'm reminded that you're here and you're going to help me with this. You have not left me to die and crash and burn. Just like the disciples in the ship. Jesus did not leave them. He said, we're going to the other side. Mm-hmm. Guess what Jesus said to us? We're going to the other side. We're going to heaven. Eventually. Now, the way of heaven is adverse. Mm-hmm. We're going to have adversity. But why the adversity? To strengthen us. Again, Savior-directed adversity is to strengthen us, to test us, to see where we stand. By the way, a weightlifter lifts and he gets up to that one weight and he says, okay, I know I can't do anymore. I know I can't, but I know I can do this much, but I can't do any more. But as he continues to lift that and does those repetitions, guess what? One day he comes to the point where I can do that now.
I can do it again.
And that's what adversity does when God's testing us. Now, when it's self-directed adversity, we know, I know not to do that no more.
That's right, Pastor. That's
God is correcting me and chasing me and saying, you know what? That was bad. Don't do that. That'll hurt you. Exactly. Like the dryer. Don't want that. That hurts.
Yep.
Notice what he says down there again. If you reproach for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he's evil spoken of, those that are reproaching you. But on your part, he is glorified. So you're handling yourself in such a way when the reproach comes that God is glorified. So there's victory in the presence of God as we go through adversity. I've got to read this here. Just as God's spirit rested on Jesus and was always present with him, it also rests upon his persecuted followers, which is you and I. Amen. Peace and victory are found. Now, this is good. Listen to this very clear. Peace and victory are not found in the absence of trouble. I'll say that again. Peace and victory are not found in the absence of trouble. Just because I don't have any trouble doesn't mean I've got peace or victory. Peace is only found in the presence of God and the power of God. That's the only way. Therefore, being justified by faith, I have peace with God. And so you can take away all your troubles and take away all your misery. If you're not in the presence of God and right with God, guess what? You're still in bad shape.
Yes, sir, you are, Pastor, you are.
So just taking away our troubles is not the answer. Somebody, how do y'all, you say, Lord, just take away all my troubles and I'll be fine.
you
really wouldn't. You'd be weak and anemic.
Yes, sir. Pastor.
You really would. But no, Lord, I'd rather be weak and anemic than to go through all these trials. No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. That's like the baby saying, I don't want to exercise my legs. I want to just lay on my back the rest of my life. You'd be a rusty baby that's sitting there.
That's right, Pastor.
Not doing anything. Think about how large you would be.
Ouch.
I don't want to learn how to walk. I don't want to exercise my muscles.
Oh, man.
No, I can't hold your bottle. You got to be baby fed. Anybody like to be like that? But you got to get up and exercise your legs.
Yes, sir, we do, Pastor, we do.
You got to exercise your arms.
Yes.
If you don't do that, you're not going to be able to walk. Amen, Shane? Shane's like, is that what happened to me? Amen. Hey, you had to get up and you had to start crawling around. You had to start using stuff and you bumped into things and you fell. That didn't feel good.
No, it did not.
But guess what? That's what it's all about. So when adversity comes, we like to repel it. Lord, I don't want it.
That's right, Pastor, we don't.
But God says, no. If you reproach For the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. And on their part is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. And so he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So we should be thankful that God is with us when we face our trials. We're not alone.
That's right, Pastor.
Do we feel alone sometimes, though?
Yes.
We do.
Yes,
I mean, let's just be honest. Sometimes we do. We feel like, you know, we're the only ones. And we know God knows. We know God cares. But it feels like we're bearing it all ourselves. And we feel like, man, God, why do I feel so alone? And it could be that we're just not getting in the presence of God the way we should,
that's right, Pastor.
The way we need to. Because God wants all of us, not some of us. And sometimes as we go through adversity, we try and figure it out ourselves. Mm-hmm. And we try to come up with all the plans. And God says, no, just get in my word. And I'll show you what the plan and the pathway is. And so when it comes to trials, that's what it's all about. The victorious Christian life does not avoid adversity. Instead, it triumphs over it. Hallelujah. It triumphs over it in the name of Jesus. And so it's not that we avoid it, but we go through it. That's why David was able to say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. Why? Thou art with me.
That's right, Pastor.
Thou art with me. So if we properly handle affliction, it makes us stronger, gives us muscles, weightlifter stretches and strains to increase his strength. And he would be more comfortable on the couch with a Diet Coke and in the gym, than in the gym. But he wouldn't be getting stronger. The phrase is, no pain, no gain. Let's go over to Roman numeral 3, the caution to the Christian. The caution to the Christian. So we see there's victory in the presence of God, and that was B. We see the victory in identifying with Christ, A. The commendation to the Christian, Roman numeral 2. And number 3 is the caution to the Christian. I'm going to give you these, and then we're going to just talk just briefly, and then go ahead and quit. The caution to the Christian, Roman numeral 3. The caution to the Christian. A, avoid self-imposed suffering. And that's that self-directed adversity that we talked about. Then B, honor Christ when suffering for his sake. Honor Christ when suffering for his sake. Are we going to suffer? Yes. Yes. Which one? Starting with what? Roman number 3? Roman number 3, the caution to the Christian. The caution to the Christian. The caution to the Christian. A, avoid self-imposed suffering. Self-imposed suffering. That's that self-directed adversity that we talked about. That means you did something to cause it. Then B, honor Christ when suffering for his sake. Honor. Everybody got those? And I'll give you 1 and 2 next week. 1 and 2 we'll give you for next week. Okay, just briefly, go back to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 15, as we get ready to close here. 1 Peter 4, 15. Because as Peter is giving his encouragement to the Christians here, he's encouraging them about suffering. He's encouraging them about their reaction to their suffering. But then he gives them a caution. He says, now you want to make sure if you're suffering, it's not for these things. Amen. Those are what he says in verse number 15. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. Now, I'm going to give you the definitions of those next week. But let me read to you what it says here. In this passage, we see a word of warning and caution that Peter gives us regarding the matter of adversity. Remember that the people he was writing to were suffering under tyrannical, oppressive government. In other words, they had some tyranny going on. The government was oppressing them for being a Christian. Imagine going to your job and getting oppressed because you're a Christian. Imagine going to the grocery store and because you're a Christian, you're being oppressed. Imagine going to the gas station and being oppressed because you're a Christian. You say, preacher, we could not fathom that. But that's what happened.
Yes, sir.
The Christians were getting beat up and abused because they were Christians. We don't have to go far back in American history when slavery was there. Because you were black or dark skinned, guess what? You were treated the same way. So we don't have to go all the way back to biblical times. We saw it happen in America. Mm-hmm. By the way, it still happens in America.
Yes, sir, it does.
to Hispanics, to blacks, to anyone that is has any kind of color. You know, if you're white, sometimes you get it as well from the blacks. And so it goes both ways. So he says, remember that the people he was writing to were suffering under a tyrannical, oppressive government. They faced the temptation to get revenge and get even with those who were causing their afflictions. Don't you just want to get even with people sometimes?
Yes, sir.
People at the stores treat you bad. And yeah, you want to just jump straddle their neck sometimes. You want to say, you can't treat me that way. Do you know who I am? I'm a child of the King. Do you know, my name is Gregory Allen Dawson. I will not be treated this way. I'll take my money somewhere else after you give me my hamburger. Amen. We can be treated so bad sometimes, and we want to get revenge on those people sometimes.
Yes, we do, Pastor.
But did you ever stop to think that sometimes they had a bad day?
Yep.
Do you ever stop to think that maybe something happened in their life that made them that way? We just want to, I pay good money for this service. But maybe their wife left them. Yeah. Maybe their husband left them. Maybe they're going through a divorce. Mm-hmm. Maybe their children are wayward. Maybe their spouse just died. Maybe their dog, their favorite dog died or something like that. Maybe they got in a car accident. Maybe they got summons with a bill or something like that they didn't know anything about. And so we so quickly want to jump back on them, but the onus is always back on the child of God to handle him or herself right. I can't control their actions. But I can sure give my reactions to the Lord and say, God, help me. These Christians that Peter is writing to, they wanted to get back on people, I'm sure. I've had many folks that I wanted to get back on. And I use the power of the pen. I'm going to write your manager. I'm gonna talk about you.
Amen.
Amen. Goes on, they face the temptation to get revenge, to get even with those who were causing their afflictions. When we are facing trials, it's easy for us to rationalize behaviors that are contrary to the word of God, isn't it?
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
It's easy. They can't do that to me. That wasn't right. That wasn't fair. Was it fair for Jesus to go to the cross?
No, it really wasn't.
Peter's caution to them and to us was to do right no matter what kind of circumstances or adversity we face. I'll leave you with that thought. When he says, but let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, or as an evildoer, as a busybody. In other words, they were tempted to do just that.
Yep.
I just had a phone call just not too long ago, and this lady did this person really bad. And the person's comment was this: if I could get away with it, I'd kill them.
Wow.
That was the comment.
Wow.
If I could kill them and get away with it, I would.
Wow.
That's dangerous thinking. Because the devil will present you that opportunity. And as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You want to make sure you guard your thoughts.
That's right, Pastor.
Because when people treat you bad, it's always easy to say, if I only. No. WWJD, what would Jesus do?
Yeah, that's right.
And so they were tempted to do that. And so Peter had to write them and say, if you're going to suffer, make sure it's not for this. And we'll pick that up next week. We'll give you this verse here, verse 16. Yet if any man suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, let him glorify God on this behalf. So we'll add that. So far we've done 12, 13, 14, 15. Next week will be verse number 16. And the caution to the Christian, you don't want to take revenge into your own hands. The Bible says, vengeance is mine, I'll repay, saith the Lord. Amen. So 1 Peter 4:16 is going to be our verse for next week. And just think about that statement. Peter's caution to them and to us was to do right no matter what kind of circumstances we face. 1 Peter 4:16 for next week. Father, thank you that, Lord, we have the Word of God and the Holy Spirit to help us through adversity. God, none of us like it. If we could avoid it, we would. But, Lord, we are reminded that we can't avoid it. It's there. So, Lord, help us to embrace the Word of God, embrace the adversity, Lord, and allow you to give us the victory over it and through it. Lord, we are going to face adversity this week. Some have faced it last week. It's right around the corner for some of us. It's in tomorrow for some of us. It's in today for some of us. But Lord, help us to face it, casting all our care upon you, for you care for us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, keeping our eyes fixed on you, not being revengeful, but Lord, saying that this may be Savior-directed, it may be self-directed. Either one, you said you'd never leave us. nor forsake us. So, Lord, guide us through adversity that we may be stronger, looking more like Jesus in the end. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.